This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good Saturday morning to you with Matt Harkins behind the glass. This is Bob Pompiani. I'll be here until 1 o'clock when we present the first Pirate preseason game coming up from down in FLA. And we'll talk about the lineup that you'll be listening to a little bit later in the program. I want to remind you our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. .net. And our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And remember, Number One Cochrane buys cars, and they have 19 dealerships all over the place. So you have no excuse to check out their massive inventory as well. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, great place to watch all sorts of sporting events. Fine dining if you want it, casual dining if you prefer it, outdoor fire pits, all sorts of stuff at Iron Rock Tap House. All right, number is 412-928-9370. You can hit us up here talking about some of the events of the day, of the week. Of course, the Penguins will take center stage again tomorrow as they take on the Philadelphia Flyers, a team that's ahead of them. Not many people thought that would be the case, given the fact that the Penguins had all this high-end talent. We're going to start with talking about Kyle Dubas and his press conference from this week and some of the things he had to say, and also, where they go from here. The deadline is coming up on March the 8th to make a trade. It was interesting this week that Dubas, my takeaway, is that he stressed on several times the need to get younger, which is a difficult thing to do for a team that has the oldest roster in the NHL, and many of those people have no trade clause or partial trade clauses, which make it difficult for anybody to get out of them. But he said, based on a TSN report, that Dubas was taking calls talking about most of the roster with the exception of three. He made it four. He said the big four, basically, which is Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and Erik Karlsson won't be involved in any trade talk. And quite frankly, that's not a surprise. But the problem they're going to have is, what do they give up to get and make themselves younger? I'm not sure they have enough to do that, at least not now. He is reluctant to give up number one picks. He wants to build that way. And that's fine, except that if you're looking for, acquisition of talent to help your team go down the stretch this year, you're going to have to do something. Who do you have to give up? Who's attractive on that team? What would you get in return? They don't have many options there. They need to find out guys in their system and bring them up here and play. It was encouraging the other night to see Valtteri Puustinen and Drew O'Connor have good games late in the game, especially against the Islanders, which resulted in an overtime loss, which is also stunning to me how this team could be 2-6 in overtime games. With all the talent they have, you'd think a 3-on-3 would work to their advantage. And, of course, the biggest thing is the power play. It's head-scratching. Just find out that the Penguins defensively and the metrics look very good as a team, and they've done pretty well. And Karlsson specifically has been okay 5-on-5. It's just the power play. He was acquired to improve that, which last year was at, we all thought, a dismal 21%. Well, it's way below that, even with Erik Karlsson on the roster. They got to figure out what to do there and take advantage of that. And they have to dig out from where they are. It's going to be a difficult assignment. But teams like Philadelphia, which come in here tomorrow, these are the teams you have to win. They went into this homestand, which I thought were four teams they could beat. And I thought at the very worst they'd have a come away with three wins in those four games. That's at the very worst. And here they are 1-1-1 with two losses to the first two, and then they beat Montreal the other night, which is certainly a must win, I thought. And tomorrow will be one as well. The Flyers come in here 67 points. They're third in the division, the last playoff team from the Metro, and the Penguins find themselves with 56 points. So that's 11 points behind them. If you look at the wild card, Detroit and Tampa currently have the two wild card spots. Detroit's playing really well. They're 66 points, 10 ahead of the Penguins. And Tampa Bay has really struggled, yet they're still 9 points ahead of the Penguins, and Tampa Bay has played far fewer games. So the Penguins have, I think, four games in hand with them. They're going to, you know, it sounds good. You could, you know, four games, you win them all, that's 8 points. Okay, we'll go win them all. That's hard to do for a team like this. But, you know, the bottom line is they're going to have to do something, and I'm not sure what they can do, given where they are in this situation. So we'll talk about that at 412-928-9370. Pirates will play their first preseason game. They signed Mitch Keller yesterday to a five-year, $77 million contract. So they've locked up people like Reynolds, DeBrian Hayes, and now Mitch Keller. And I think that's certainly good because he needs to be the opening day starter, and he needs to be what they think he can be at this point. The big thing that you're going to be focused in if you're watching the game today is Henry Davis. He will start at catcher, bat third in the lineup, and we'll see how long he plays. But, I mean, that's going to be the one thing that you would expect to see a lot of during this training camp, something he probably should have seen a lot of last year during the regular season but did not. Henry Davis never got a chance to really get in that lineup. It was all Indy Rodriguez, and even when he got a day off, it wasn't Henry Davis. It was Jason DeLay. They brought in Yasmani Grandal, and I believe they're going to play him a lot, but this is important for Davis. Eventually, he has to be their everyday catcher, or at least one of them on a regular basis, and more importantly, his bat has to play at this level. He has to hit. Otherwise, that number one overall pick will look like a bust. It's not there yet. I'm hopeful. You know, he's a young kid. He's certainly beefed up. He looks very powerful. He needs to drive the ball, and they need to, you know, do what they got to do to get him to be a catcher. Because the outfield right now has a whole bunch of people who probably are better outfielders than Henry Davis. Like Smith and Jigma, they just got him back off waivers from Seattle. He's going to play today. And Edward Olivares also is an outfielder they brought in. So they got a bunch of guys. Whether or not those guys can be every day, probably doubtful. Josh Palacios is a guy who's played out there. They're going to have a lot of platooning going on. That's not necessarily a good thing. But the thing about the Pirates, they do return seven regulars. And I think that's a sign of a team that has a foundation in place. They need to add to that foundation. 412-928-9370 is the number to call there if you'd like to talk about the Penguins or the Pirates and where they go from here. The big thing about the Penguins, aside from, you know, where they are and how they have to dig out, and Kyle Dubas sort of gave him a vote of confidence, but he did say, again, that they have to get younger and younger, is Jake Guentzel. That's the one piece you can trade. That's the one piece that can bring you back. The question is, what do you get back for him? A lot of people want to say, well, you can get two number one picks. You can get number one and a player. To me, that's the most logical thing, a number one and a player. Somebody who's quick to be up here, a high-end prospect, or somebody who's still on a roster. But they're going to have to figure out what to do with Guentzel. If they find that his asking through negotiations is way too high, then they're going to have to move him. But they may decide to double down and keep him and work for. Their cap will go up, not as much as the NFL cap went up yesterday. We saw it go up $30 million, but it's going to go up. They're going to, you know, get rid of some contracts at the end of this year, like Jeff Carter and others potentially, so they can create room for Jake Guentzel if they want him and include him in that big four that they mentioned. But still, how does that help you now? How will that help you now? Depending on what you're going to get in, it probably won't. You're going to have to figure out a way to make up all these points in these games, 29, 28 of them left, heading down the stretch. And listen, the goal is to get in. It always has been to get in. Once you get in, then, you know, best of seven, things can change. Hot goaltender changes a lot of things. I think the goaltending has been largely good for the Penguins this year. but they got to get better at some of these other things, specifically the power play. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Chuck in Uniontown, who joins us right now. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Bob, thank you. Always good to talk to you.
You too. I'm glad you're doing well.
Bob, do you think the Pirates will be better this year?
Better than last year?
Yes.
Yes? Not incrementally to the point. I think it's going to be an improved season. Will that result in a playoff? Probably not.
Over 500?
Let's just say if things go well and they don't lose people like they did with O'Neill Cruz last year with the ankle, they have a chance at that, yes.
But they'll be in the mix, but won't make it.
Well, their division is down, Chuck. That's the one thing that, you know, when you look at, and maybe, you know, we'll all be proven wrong if you think like I do on this, but I don't think the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be much better than they were. They probably will. They'll probably do what St. Louis always does and figure out a way to bring guys up and thrive. I think Cincinnati's just an average team. I don't know if the Milwaukee Brewers have gotten better. They've gotten rid of some of their key people. So I think the division is, you know, in a position where they can contend for it. Sure, I do. It won't take much to do that because I don't think it's that good of a division.
Bob, but see, what bothers me is, first of all, the Keller signing is great. It's good. They're locking up people, key people long term. But what they're missing the point, they're not supplementing them, you know, with free agents they bring in. They need to bring some experienced free agents in to round the team out. And again, the starting pitching is still in bad shape.
Well, I think, thank you for the call, Chuck. I do agree with that. When you supplement, you shouldn't just supplement with $2 million a year players. Roddy Tellez, $4 million, okay. You have Cody Bellinger out there. Make a big splash and go out and get that dude and put him in your lineup and see what it does for you. But you got to pay for that. So I agree on that. As far as the starting pitching is concerned, you know, I think there is, again, it's who knows? The problem is there are more question marks than exclamation points. At this time last year, I thought Rones and Contreras are going to be a really good pitcher for them. I really thought Ortiz would be. I thought, who's the other guy? Johan Oviedo would be good, but he's out with an injury. Brubaker, there's all these question marks. Can they put it all together? Can anyone emerge from their system? Skeens is a kid, you know, but he won't be a part of this to start at least. At least that's what I think. I hope he is, but I don't think they're going to do that. They have potential and, you know, potential. We'll see. It's always potential. Then the potential turns into lack of production. Jay in Shadyside joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you? Jay?
There?
Yeah, you there?
There. I'm there now.
Okay,
how
good.
How you doing, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Good. One question about the Penguins. I hope it hasn't been asked, but if they do get younger, as they should, and they trade away some players you wouldn't think of, is the team captain going to be on board? Is he going to have a bad attitude? Is he?
He never has a bad attitude. You know, he may have his say in what he likes,
and
I know he likes Gensel. He wants Gensel here, but I think if you can convince him, right, that whatever trade they make, and here are the problems we're having. It's this much money, we can't afford it at this point. I think he would understand all of that. He wants to be better too. I mean, he wants to get this team. He's done his part. He's had a wonderful year. So he doesn't complain. He may go in there and air his, you know, concerns about whatever, and that's fine. He should. He's a captain. But
usually I've learned that they're okay the first time for rebuilding, but a second and third time, usually they're not thrilled about it.
Well, here's the situation they're in, Jay. They have not missed the playoffs in back-to-back years since before Crosby was drafted. So this is an unusual position for them to be in. It's one thing to get in and get knocked out, but they haven't gotten in last year, and they're right now trending toward not being in again this year. But yet, everything seems to be okay with the coaching staff. Kyle Dubas, again, big vote of confidence for Mike Sullivan and his team.
No, but it's not a coaching issue at all, although I sometimes wonder if they're still listening to the coach.
All right, Jay, thanks. I think that's always a brought up, especially when you have a bunch of guys who've been here for a very long time, and they have. And I wonder about what that means on the power play. First of all, I don't think any of their coaches are telling the Penguins to do what they do on the power play. I think they're trying to tell them something else, and they may not go through with what they're supposed to do. Because, again, I keep going back to Yager on the broadcast last week when he was in town, and he said they respect each other too much, which is to say they keep trying to defer. Pass to this guy. You got to put pucks on net and do dirty work. That's how you win on the power play. That's what teams do on the power play. Last game here at home before the Montreal game, they went 0-for-3 against the worst penalty-killing unit in the NHL, which is the Islanders. And again, mostly because I don't think they were taking advantage of what they were going to do down low. You got to get in somebody's face. You got to put rebounds in, do all that stuff. It's basic stuff, yet they haven't really done it to a large degree. 412-928-9370. We got Sam in Greensburg hanging up. Hold on, Sam. We'll get to you. We have Stefan in Robinson. We'll get to you. Want to remind you once again, our show is brought to you by number one Cochrane, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Sandorovich, Sandorovich and Fishman, and Iron Rock Tap House. We're getting started here. Want to hear from you. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. This is the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back, everyone. Want to remind you that Larry Richard is once again hosting the Feed the Need Variety Show to raise funds for our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon, March 1st. That's next week at the Oaks Theater in Oakmont, 7:30 p.m. Performances by Kiki, the Van's Own, Joe Starkey. Man, we'll see what he has up his sleeve. Alista and Bubba will be there as well. Tickets available at 937thefan.com, with all the proceeds going to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Our show brought to you by number one Cochrane, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. We have sort of a doubleheader for you today of sports. We have the Pirates in their preseason opener today. Henry Davis batting third and catching. We'll be interested to see how he does there. And then tonight, a big game for the Pitt Panthers as they will take on Virginia Tech in a must-win. And Pitt, after getting blown out at Wake Forest, which is not a surprise given the way Wake plays at home and how they got hot from the outside, but Pitt really needs to win that game. It'll be a 5:30 game today at the Peterson Events Center. That'll be the second part of the DH. So you have the Pirates on first at 1, followed by Virginia Tech Pitt. Pitt then goes to Clemson next Tuesday. They also have at BC, Florida State at home, and NC State. So they got to win like 5 of these games, I think, and do some damage in the tournament after that loss based on where they are. We'll see how that goes at 412-928-9370. Back to the Lions, and we begin here with Sam in Greensburg. Hey, Sam, what's going on?
Hey, it's actually Tim in Greensburg, but that's okay.
All right, sorry,
you can call
Tim.
You can call me Sam. You
just don't call you late for dinner. I get, or late for a tea time. Go ahead.
There you go. Hey, me and my friends talk all the time. We don't always pay a lot of attention to the early goings on with the Pirates, but one thing they struggle with, you know, filling the positions that in need, and first base has been need for a while. They sign free agents. They don't sign enough free agents out there that might make an impact, but other teams sign them at team-friendly prices, and you get so frustrated, like, hey, we could add him for 3, we could add him for 5, and it's like, why won't the Pirates be more proactive? There's a guy out there that has a career batting average that's good. He hits well against the Pirates. The team doesn't want him back, and guess what? He hits the ball when runners are on base to advance the runners. Rarely strikes out. I'm going to say a name. You tell me what you think.
Who is that, Bellinger?
Joey Votto.
Oh.
What? I mean, if we can get him for a team-friendly price, you know, why can't we bring him? He didn't do great last year, but his career, if the Reds don't want him, hey, he would really help the Pirates.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying. But I just think that ship has sailed for him. I would rather go Cody Bellinger. I've been saying that since the beginning of free agency for them. I want a young guy who can give me some pop and has good years ahead of him. Joey Votto's at the end of the line. Tremendous career, and he gave them all he can give them based on the money that they gave him. So that was great. But he would fall into the same category I would put all these other guys. That is, older guy, you bring him in, the expectations aren't that high. I don't see them getting any better. I would have preferred something other than that. But say thanks, Sam, or Tim, or
yeah. Would you bring Bellinger in, say at 10 instead of?
I'd bring him, but he ain't going to take 10. He ain't going to take 10. I would give him $17 million a year. I give him whatever the market says he deserves. That's what I would do.
Well, that's you and that's me, but that's not the Pirate way.
No, they're instead going to give Rowdy Tellez a $4 million deal, and that's that. So,
and that's frustrating because when we got a guy on second and there's 2 outs, and we need that single to bring him home, and we just don't get it.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. From Greensburg, let's go out to Stefan, or is it Stefan in Robinson? So far, I'm 0 for 2 on names. I want to get yours right. Is it Stefan?
It is Stefan and Robinson.
Stefan, okay. What's up?
Nothing much, nothing much. Just wanted to start off by saying I actually got the pleasure to meet you in Robinson. Super shocked. But I also wanted to get your input. Like Yager said, the Penguins power play is really suffering, and we do have one of the oldest teams in the NHL. So what would you look to get for in Gensel moving forward, knowing that that is an issue?
Well, it would be nice if they can get somebody who's currently on a roster and an effective player in addition to a number one pick. Kyle Dubas has not been shy about saying he wants more number one picks. He doesn't want to give them up. He would like to add two. If this comes, you know, push to shove and Gensel just is unwilling to accept whatever they think is a fair offer and they see that it's going to be impossible, they got to do something before they just lose him for nothing. But
right,
I would want, and I think there'll be a bid. Here's the thing. The thing about rental players with me, Stefan, is this. They can be very, very important to a team that thinks they could win. If you look around the NHL, there aren't any guaranteed any teams right now. It's wide open. If you're a team that's close and you believe that Jake Gensel, because he can score, he's one of the best playoff performers in the NHL, if he can score and help you, even if you have no intent to sign him long term, you can get a lot if there's a bidding war for him. As a rental player, he can look. The Penguins have done that how many times? Guys like you know, it doesn't always work. But I'm just saying, if Gensel can score goals, if you're a team that needs some more goal production, if you think you're worthy of a Stanley Cup, yeah, you pay for it. So I hope that kind of market begins to show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then one more with that saying, we do get two firsts for Gensel. Who are you? What is a prospect that you're looking at? You're pretty excited about that you might be able.
Honestly, I'm not a big fan of any of these number one picks coming up in this draft. Every now and then, you get a generational player or two. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are any of those. So you may have to wait. That's why I want somebody from somebody's roster as well. Thanks, Stefan.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, man. My pleasure talking to you. 412-928-9370. We got Charles in Chicago. What's up, Charles? Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Bob? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Just before I get into it, I want to just pay a salute to your fellow colleagues. Now, I'm missing hearing the addition of the Freebirds on Mondays with Ron Cook leaving the show on Mondays, man. So big shout-out to him first and foremost.
All right, what's up?
I was just seeing an article on CBS Sports of T.J. Watt. And basically, just like still a little frustrated, you can tell, not getting defensive play of the year, just questioning like how things are being voted, just making a comment like saying, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of guys who deserve to win it and didn't like snub Garrett or anything, but just talk about how it's more about legacy. And don't get me wrong, TJ Watt, I mean, it's definitely. I hate to say it, but just by a little bit pouty the last few times he didn't win it. And I don't know if it's because he probably still feels like the perception he's still somewhat in the shadow of his older brother, J.J. Watt, who has 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, despite how he performs. But at this point, if you want to really talk about legacy, I love T.J. Watt, but how about win a Super Bowl ring for the city of Pittsburgh? No disrespect. I mean, he's a great player. I'm not saying that's not his mind, but when you go through, especially first and foremost, trying to end what's going to become now an 8-year playoff losing streak, I mean, at some point, if you want to really defy your legacy, why don't you like the old Steelers did back in the day, like what's like Joey Porter,
well,
Jerome Bettis?
Charles, I'll tell you this. Your connection's a little bad, so I got to drop you off here, but I appreciate the call as always. But I'll say this. You know, Myles Garrett hasn't won anything either. If it's strictly on what happened this year on the field, tangible evidence, T.J. Watt should have been the Defensive Player of the Year. Does that mean Myles Garrett isn't worthy? No. That just means he did not have the same tangible impact. Now, if you're going to put it all on him, that this team should get into the postseason, that would be a wrong conclusion to make. He did his part to do it. He can only do so much. Other people have got to do it too, like an offense that has not been able to score consistently. That's where the problem lies. This defense will be good enough if the offense just does its part. This defense, yeah, they can give up points, sure. They can, you know, but if you're expecting them to win games when you only score 17 points, it doesn't matter who you have. Look at what the Browns got absolutely picked apart defensively in their playoff game against Houston. Myles Garrett had nothing over the past six games of the regular season and into the playoffs. You know, he can't be expected to do it either. You got to have an offense that's capable of putting up points. That, to me, is what the Steelers have got to spend most of this offseason trying to figure out. Who's going to be their quarterback? Who's going to be on their offensive line? Because they've got to improve that, and they've already made a move, which I thought was a little premature in terms of Mason Cole, only because they didn't have to do anything now, but they chose to do it now, which means you better come away with a center if it's not in the draft and free agency. So there's a lot going on there. 412-928-9370. Squeeze in one more before we go. We'll go up to top of the board there, Matty Harkins. That would be Harry in Westview. Hello, Harry. How are you?
Good morning, Pomp. Hey, the Pirates have like ADD or something. They pick these players that aren't even set for one position. They always want to move them around. And it's like a trend in the national, like baseball. Why don't they pick a player by position? Like, if you want a good first baseman or whatever, get a good first baseman like you do in football or whatever. But they pick like it seems like they pick the athletes all the time. You know what I mean? And they never work out.
Well, first of all,
like Cole Tucker. They wanted to move him around right away. He wasn't a position set.
I think that's more their inability to come up with someone who can play a regular position. Whenever they start platooning, it's an indication that you don't have a position, like you haven't been good enough to win a position outright. If you look at the Atlanta Braves, they send out the same people day after day after day after day after day. They're not interested in that. And I don't mind platooning once in a while, but if you do it on too many positions, you're going to end up with just a whole bunch of you know what. So
didn't the Pirates have the most lineups put out last year?
One of them, yes. One of them. And I think they're better off this year with regard to Cruz coming back. As you know, every day it should be Hayes, Cruz. Now, first base is Tellez probably, but you may get Connor Joy again. Platoon out in first base, platoon in right field, platoon in catcher. There's too many platoons. And in center field, you may have a platoon situation there too. So
yeah, that's not
you'd
good.
It's good for a little bit, not a lot. But I agree with you, Harry. Thanks for the call. Got to get to a break. We got Buzz. We have Greg, Chase, and John all coming up. We're on the air until 1 o'clock taking your phone calls on a potpourri of subject matter right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. The Penguins are practicing today after a day off yesterday. They got the Flyers tomorrow. The Flyers take on the Rangers today, and New York has been very hot. But Emil Bemström is skating on a third line with Lars Eller and Riley Smith today at the skate. We'll see what happens with him. Very unusual trade. And I really liked Alex Nylander. I don't know. He never really got a legitimate chance here, I thought at least. Anyway, 412-928-9370 is the number. We got line four. That would be Greg in Youngstown. Joins us right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Greg, how are you today?
Hey, what's Hayward's contract this year? How much?
I think it's $22 million.
Oh, Jesus. I mean,
they're going to restructure that. They're not going to go with that.
Well, I don't think he's going to like what the Steelers tell him. I really don't. We haven't won anything with this guy. We need bodies. We need a receiver. He's making way too much. And the Highsmith deal was a horrible deal, too. It really was.
No,
they
wasn't.
They paid him too much.
No, I mean, you're paying high-end guys on defense. Now, if you're saying they haven't spent enough on their offense, you would be correct. But with this cap going up, I think most of this draft and most of what they do in free agency will be offensive.
Yeah, they got to be careful how they sign some of these guys, though. I thought the Hayward move initially was bad because he was getting older, and now they're paying the price for this $22 million. And when they tell him to take a pay cut or they're going to divert
the money. It won't be a pay cut. All they're going
to
do is restructure it in the form of a signing bonus. He'll get everything that they want that he's owed.
Well, why do they worry what he thinks? Why do they care what this guy thinks?
Because he's still a very effective player when he's healthy.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He didn't play good. No, he's not.
He was injured.
He's 34 years old.
I understand, but they obligated this money to him, so he's going to get it one way or the other. If you're asking me, is he worth the $22 million right now for this year? The answer would be no, but they will figure out a way to do it. They certainly need more people there, Greg. They do. They don't have enough on their line.
They got to get a lot younger at defensive line.
They've tried.
A lot younger.
DeMarvin Leal has regressed. They expected him to go forward. And other guys they've brought over there have regressed. Now, you know, that's what you don't want with draft picks. You want them to progress, not regress, and many of them have regressed.
Yeah, I just think sometimes only guys that deserve that kind of money is like a Watt, a tackle, a cornerback, maybe a safety, or a quarterback. A defensive lineman, unless he's Bruce Smith, is not shouldn't get $20 million. No way.
All right. Anything else? I see you wanted to call about the Pirates. Is that
well, about the Pirates, too. I mean, They what were they at? $68 million, $70 million right now, and at their salary, I think they're around that borderline. Mm-hmm. Why don't they just spend like $30 more million and get two pitchers and be done with
it? They could, but they choose not to. It's just a choice. Thanks, Greg. I know. I hear what you're saying. It's the same thing. It's a choice. They choose not to do it, and they should do it. You got to supplement what you have too. And if you feel like, again, I can equate this a little bit to what the Steelers may be going through and maybe missed opportunities. To me, and I may be wrong, you know, what I say now may not be the case later, but it looks to me like the National League Central Division is not going to be very good. You have opportunities once in a while to cash in on other teams not having good seasons, and this could be one for the Pirates. I would hate to think that they would actually be in a position, but because they did not go out and spend a little bit more money in the offseason, that they're going to regret that. Just as I would make this observation that the Steelers, even though they still want to see what Kenny Pickett can produce as a number one 20th overall pick, you might be missing opportunities that otherwise will never be available to you, like this year. They have some free agents out there you may like or not like them, and I can make a case pro and con for all of them. Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill, whatever the case. But there are trade opportunities because of how things have factored out with Chicago somehow emerging as the number one pick. Carolina had it. They traded to Chicago. Chicago, so they're going to get the first and the ninth pick. So there are opportunities there. You would hate to think that they had a chance to do something and chose not to because they wanted to wait to see about the development of Kenny Pickett. You can do both. But again, the Pirates are in that same boat. I look at this situation this year, and I think maybe they have enough talent on their roster if they just went out and add some big-time names to it and spend, you know, they could actually be in a position to make the playoffs. So those are situations that look like opportunistic right now, but it's up to them to do something about it. 412-928-9370. Buzz in Freeport is up next here on The Fan. Hello, Buzz. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good. What's up?
Hey, just a couple things about the Steelers. First of all, what do you think about trading Watt? I mean, the Steelers are so far away from even being competitive towards a playoff, a Super Bowl. Why not trade them? Get what you can out of him. I mean, he's gonna probably bring maybe a number one, a number two, you know, draft choice. Get what you can out of him, and then, you know, start building your team. The other thing is Najee Harris. Don't sign him. I mean, he's going to be, what, I think $10 million for his fifth
year.
Yeah,
it's between 9 and 10, yeah, somewhere in that range.
I mean, you can get a player. Well, first of all, they have Warren. And not only that is they can get a big back in the draft. Draft a kid from Wisconsin or whatever in the fifth or sixth round that can run the ball hard. And, you know, running backs nowadays are a dime a dozen. I mean, they don't need to sign Najee.
But what
do you think about that, first of all, the Watt?
Well, first of all, Boston, thanks for the call. I got to run through this up against some breaks here. But if they did something like that, I could understand it. I would not do it. I still think he's a difference maker on that defense. He's the number one anchor of that defense. He is somebody who can still produce it at, I think, a pretty high level. So if I got an offer that absolutely floored me, would I look at it? Sure, I'd look at it. Would I do it? Depends on what that offer is. But I also think they have their own pieces in place here with draft picks. They have to hit on them, and they can make some moves in free agency that would help this offense immediately. I'd rather go with this defense and try to supplement the offense and see what the offense could do to make my job as a defense easier. And that's the one thing that has not happened in 3 years. So the offense has been the main culprit of all of this at 412-928-9370. Let's go to Chase and Butler before we take a break this hour. Hey, Chase, what's going on?
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to say that, you know, for Lent, I am giving up believing in the Pittsburgh Pirates. it seems like we have the same conversation every year.
Yeah, we do.
They need to make some splash moves. They need to go out and get Bellinger, go out and get Snell, and then, I mean, take a chance on I forget that other guy that had some trouble off the field, but we need to
Are you talking about the pitcher from the Dodgers?
Yes.
Yeah. He wants to play for the veteran minimum. I see no problem. By the way, Ariza signed with the Chiefs yesterday or the day before. I would have done that if I were Pittsburgh. And he's been cleared of all these charges. He's a really good punter, and they need a punter.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's all I had to say. The Pirates just need to start spending, man. Like, unless we want to see the same result every single year and just try to make do with prospects and prospects and prospects, trading people at the trade deadline and just not making any measurable moves, then, I mean, it's just not going to work.
I got you, and I agree. And again, you may look back at this season and say they should have done that because the division was not very good. One more call, Matt, before we go to break, because I want to get John on. He's been waiting, and I don't like people waiting too long. I appreciate, John, your patience. And Cranberry, what's up?
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call again. I haven't called in a while. I just wanted to shout out before I get to my point or my question. Want to shout out to the station, to Starkey, and to you for the send-off for Ron Cook that week that he left. That Monday show that you did with Starkey, for me, I'm a big sports fan. It was one of the best radio shows I've heard, all the guests you had on. It was a great send-off for Ron.
Well, he deserved it, and thanks for saying that. And I'm sure Joe did a whole bunch that whole week. He worked hard, and we tried to bring on people that I knew would have a lot to say about Ron. So I'm glad he got off to a nice send-off.
The thing that was amazing about Ron to me, really quickly, his knowledge of especially the WPIL basketball and football going back to the 60s and 70s, it was simply amazing to me the retention he had of the great names and teams. And the point was there are so many great athletes that came out of Western Pennsylvania that we don't really even heard about. So he amazed me on his knowledge of local high school sports. But speaking of basketball, Bob, I wanted to ask you about Pitt. It was a very, rough loss against Wake Forest. Do you think, big game tonight against Virginia Tech, do you think they have to win out to get into the tournament? And I wanted to get your thoughts on, because they're on the bubble, of what you thought about the Panthers' chances.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate that. I don't think they have to win out, but I do think of all these games, at Clemson is going to be a big one for them. They've won on the road this year. They beat Virginia, ranked 21st. They ended a big, long win streak for them at home. They beat Duke. Now, they got blown out by Wake Forest, and again, that happens, especially a Wake Forest team that's very good at where they play. You got to win that game at Clemson. That doesn't mean you have to win all the rest of your games. You may lose one along the way, I get. But tonight is a must. They got to win this game at home. They have NC State. They have BC. They have teams they should be able to beat. But the one at Clemson next Tuesday is a big one. If they get that, it's a quad one. It counts more. It's better looking, and it's on the road as well. So, one loss. And make sure you beat Clemson is the way you got to go. We're up against the break. 412-928-9370 is the number. Once again, a thank you to number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Also, PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich, and Fishman, you know them. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call right here on KDK Plus, as well as Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. If you're looking for a place also to hit some balls, go to the Turn Club in Cranberry. It's a tremendous facility. Great food. They got all the stuff, indoor simulators, whatever you need. It's a great place to head off. Again, the Turn Club in Cranberry. It's our number two shift change. Matt Harkins has just left the building, and Joel Nelson is here for the rest of this show and all throughout the afternoon. And again, a reminder, too, we have Pirate Baseball at 1 o'clock right here. Henry Davis bats third and will catch today. I hope he catches a lot of innings. They need to do a lot of that in the preseason. They should have done it last year in the regular season. And with the injury to Andy Rodriguez, they got to find things out. Later today, it's Pitt and Virginia Tech, 5 o'clock pregame right here on The Fan. It's a 5:30 tip-off at the Peterson Event Center, and I dare say it's a must-win for Pitt. And I would believe next Tuesday at Clemson is also one of those after they lost at Wake Forest the other night. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our show brought to you by number one Cochran. Ride in style. Shop 24/7. Expressway at Cochran.com. Tune in to the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night, 11:35 on KDKA. On the program tomorrow will be Jeff Hathorn, Colin Dunlap, and Mr. Graves from the Associated Press. So we have all that for you tomorrow at 11:35 after the late news. And our show is also sponsored by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the Sports Call, nightly on KDK Plus and right here on The Fan. And, of course, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. We've talked a lot about the Penguins. I still want to take your calls on what they should do with the trade deadline and what you would expect in a trade for Jake Guentzel if it does happen, or anybody else they could move. I also want to get into this Justin Fields situation, because Chicago ends up with a number one pick. They have him. He's due a $23.2 million fifth-year option if you bring him in, which is why I think if you're looking for a reason the Steelers shouldn't do this, that's probably it, because it would do two things. Number one, if you bring him in, he has to start. There's no way he's a backup. If you're going to find out what you get and you give up assets to get him, he has to start. So that means Kenny Pickett, whatever you're thinking about him, that would not take place. And there are a lot of teams, actually, who should be in the market for a guy like Justin Fields. You know, when you look at it, here's a team that's not really mentioned a lot, but the Washington Commanders, right? They're the second overall pick they have. Now, if you look at their team, you'll see that they have Sam Howell at quarterback. Okay, Sam Howell, is he the guy they want to build around? He had a pretty good year. I will give him that. But if you could bring in a Fields with, you know, what you already have on that roster, which is Terry McLaurin, 1,000-yard receiver, which is Jahan Dotson, the kid from Penn State, which is Curtis Samuel. And if you trade, because you have a lot of picks coming up after that, you can actually get Fields to be in that or not. Or you stay at number two and you bring in another quarterback and you just, you know, try to, whoever that is, and use the guys you have. They have Brian Robinson on their team. He's a pretty good running back. Another team that people mention a lot is Atlanta. They have Taylor Heinicke and Desmond Ridder, a quarterback. Zach Robinson is their new offensive coordinator, a guy who was mentioned here originally. They have talent, too. Drake London's a good receiver. Kyle Pitts, they didn't use him enough at tight end. This is Arthur Smith's offense from last year. But if they make a trade for Fields, you know, they can certainly help themselves as well. They have the 8th overall pick. They may have to trade that to get it. And Chicago, you know, can do some things then. They're going to have a lot of picks to kind of reshape their offensive roster. So a lot of that going on, and we'll see. Again, I only bring this up because it's a kind of a rare situation for the Steelers. You kind of need quarterback help. And if it's not Mason Rudolph, you're going to have to sign somebody. And you have an opportunity to bring in guys who have big resumes, like Cousins, like Wilson, even Garoppolo, if you want to throw him in there. But you also have an opportunity to make a trade that may not cost you as much as you thought for a guy like Fields. Are you missing opportunities that don't normally present themselves at 412-928-9370? Let's go to Guy in California kicking us off this hour. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How you doing? Hey, listen, to channel my inner Badger Bob, it's a great day for hockey.
Yes, it is, and it will be tomorrow if they beat the Flyers, because you always want to beat the Flyers.
I'll be quick here. Just, you know, the last 28 games for the Pens, obviously, are going to be interesting. Just one little interesting stat, and then I'll talk about the Pens. It's crazy that two players, Ovechkin and Toronto's Matthews, born on the same day, a little more than a decade apart, are still in a goal-scoring conversation. So obviously, Ovechkin to catch up with Gretzky. He's 56 goals behind. And Matthews, he's on a tear. He may end up ending up in the top 10 scorers, season goal scorers of all time. But going back to the Penguins, you know, when you look at the goals for and goals against, you know, the Penguins plus 14, it's obviously behind the other teams. But when you look at anyone else who's number 7 in their division, it's remarkable. In the Atlantic division, Canadians minus 45.
Yep.
The Central,
everyone's minus except the Penguins, right?
Yeah, and then the Ducks are minus 53. The Pens, last point, why they got themselves in this predicament is they lost too many intra-divisional four-point games, either losses or loss in overtime. And that, I think, broke their season for them. And when you get rid of Guentzel, what you're basically saying is, we're tearing this down and beginning again.
No, that's not what he said. He said he's not in the mood for a rebuild, which leads to an interesting situation then, right, Guy? How do you do it without rebuilding? What do you do? How do you get prospects in here? How do you do that in the short term? Because you still want to compete with these guys they have.
Well, the problem is, I think everyone's under the delusion you'll trade Guentzel and you'll get someone of a high caliber player who's younger. Doesn't work that way. I mean, the other managers in the leagues aren't stupid either.
Yeah, but if there's a bidding war for a guy who can make, I think as a rental player, if you're even if you don't have an intention of signing him long term, if you're a team that you believe, because you know teams want to win championships, they're hard to come around. If you're a team that believes that you could win, and Gensel can, he's a proven goal scorer, especially in the playoffs, right? Why wouldn't you want to have him, even if you have to give up more than you want, because and not sign him? You don't have to sign him. You can if you want, but you don't have to. There are teams out here who could use a Jake Gensel to try to win a championship.
I agree with you, Bob, the fact that teams could use Gensel, but I'm saying what the Penguins will get in return
should be better than you think. I bet if there are three teams that want to get him because they need a goal scorer, okay, you don't think the price can go higher? You can demand, you could play that game if you're Kyle Dubas. I think you can. Jim Rutherford did a lot.
I'll sign you up for GM. Well, thank you again, Bob.
All right,
thank
no, I appreciate it, guy. I know what you're saying. He's at the end of a contract, so that hurts you in terms of value potentially. But if you're a team, say, like, I don't know, St. Louis Blues, who need some scoring, Nashville Predators, they're on a, you know, they need to get in. A team like the Carolina Hurricanes, even, you know, they're a good team, but they fall short year in and year out, and it seems like they lack scoring at critical times. There are teams that could use Jake Gensel to try to push toward a championship. That's all I'm saying. And because there are many, there could be a little bit of a bidding war going on, which could drive that price up. 412-575-2600 is not the number. It's 412. That's the sports call. See, I got numbers on my mind, Joel. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Carol in Clinton, who joins us right now. Hey, Carol, how are you?
Hey, Bob, that was a pretty good...
Next time I'm going to give you my cell phone number. I know it. It's going to happen over the air.
But you really regrouped on that right in the middle of it. You went, that's not the number. That was really good. Hey, I want to talk about Henry Davis. You know, he was only in the minors for, what, 3 years or something, and he spent a lot of time on the injured list, and he was injured last year when he came up here. He was injured toward the end of the season. So I hope he's not one of those.
Well, I mean, I expect number one overall pick to be up here sooner than later, and it's taken some time, and we're still not absolutely sure what he's going to end up doing. And that's a concern to me. Normally when you get a number one overall pick, you satisfy two needs, the bat, and it's a guy who's at a position that you need sorely beset with a need for a catcher. And they needed it. Now,
right. And that goes to pre-draft scouting and what went wrong there. If it turns out that he can't catch.
I think he can catch. I don't know if he's going to be as good as anyone like Andy Rodriguez. But if he can hit, you can at least get him back there a few times a week, you know, to put other people in the outfield. If he has to play right field, that limits a lot of other potential bats, I think, that could be available in the outfield. I don't know. We'll see. The bottom line is they should have done this last year. No, he didn't. And he should have done this last year more. I'm still not sure why they didn't do that.
Yeah, they're because they don't know what the hell they're doing. That's why.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay.
You sum it all up. All right, appreciate that. Let's go out to Flash. Who joins us in Munhall. What's up, Flash?
Hey, Bob. A lot of times I don't disagree with you, but on the quarterback situation with the Steelers, I disagree, really disagree. You know, we got a good 1-2 punch. I'm telling you, we do. And I don't care what anybody says. Mason Rudolph is going to be a good or better quarterback. He's going to be a great quarterback if they give him the chance to play the whole
Boom.
Season.
That's what you just said. If they give him the chance, do you think they're motivated to do that?
Well, I have nothing against Kenny, okay? But he just doesn't want to get in that pocket and move up. But Mason Rudolph is the answer, I'm telling you.
Well, they have time, exclusive time to sign him before he ever gets to free agency if they
want
to do it.
I don't want Wilson. I don't want any of these bums from Chicago. I don't want retreads. Get at him for your birthday. I don't want him. We got two good ones. All right, so you get a third one in
it. Well, let me ask you this, Flash. What about
Fields?
What about a guy like Fields? You say retreads. He's not. He's 24 years old. He's actually younger than Kenny Pickett.
I don't want somebody else's problem. No.
I don't know if he's a problem. He's a guy.
Whatever. I don't want anybody but Mason and Kenny. Let it go. They're going to be good.
All right,
congratulations to Mitch Keller. He deserves that $75 million.
All right, well, we'll see how that goes. I know there's going to be a market for Justin Fields. Thanks for the call, Flash. Denver's another team to not mention, but Sean Payton, I don't know if Justin Fields fits over there. Although I have to say, Justin Fields played a game against Denver this year in which he threw 4 touchdown passes. Now, he had some turnovers also, and that's the one thing about him that he does a lot. He turns the football over. But that was a mess of an organization in Chicago. You know, you could look at him a lot of different ways. Raw talent in a good system, what that could be like. If the asking price is a 3rd or 2nd round pick, would you be willing to do it? Should you do it? Again, these opportunities like this don't come around too often. Chicago's in it because they have Carolina's number 1 pick. And so they can redo that position, or they could build around Justin Fields. I still wouldn't be surprised if they keep him and build around him and bring in Marvin Harrison. They can do a lot of stuff and become a very viable offense pretty quickly. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Tom in Oakmont, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Bob, this is an alternate way of looking at the Penguins' roster construction. I think Carlson is a proven player. I don't think he has to prove a hell of a lot. But I would look at trading Letang and keeping Carlson, because Letang might have a high trade value, and that'd be another way of doing things, possibly.
Well, first of all, your first statement about Carlson hasn't had to prove anything. Yes, he has. He has not proven to be what they thought he could be for this power play.
Well, he can't play with Letang. I think that's the only thing he proved here. But I think he's his history is he's a good player, and I think Letang might have a high trade value, and it may mix the bloodline up there a little bit, you know.
Yep. Thanks, Tom. But
yeah,
I will say this though, that you know, when you're getting up there in age, these guys are all, I don't know what the asking price should be. I don't know what people would be willing to give. And the other thing is, you're dealing with a no-trade clause. They have 12 guys on their team who have either partial or full trade clauses. It's hard to move people once you give them that. That's one of the clauses I hate in sports, that was introduced by agents and owners. Once you go down this road, it limits everything you can do. As a general manager, you're stuck. You can't do it. If he says no, or any of them, whether it's him or anyone else in the NHL or whoever has these kind of clauses, they can just say no. We have a great place. This is going to help you. You'll move. No, I'm not going. And it ruins it. 412-928-9370. Steve, also in Oakmont, which is the home of the U.S. Open next year, 2025, coming back to Oakmont. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Bob, and the Oakmont Bakery, which is delicious.
Yes, sure, yeah, there you go. But you know what? It's like once you go in there, man, it's addictive.
It's very hard. Hey, I wanted to talk about the draft. I was hoping that the Steelers would go after one of these corners and kind of follow the Kansas City model, where you have 2 shutdown corners with Porter Jr. and a first-round pick. I think that would really help our defense, our aging defense. It seemed to really help them get a better pass rush, even with coverage. And then I hope we go offensive line. Another name I want you to think about, quarterback, Tennessee, Joe Milton. Pitt fans will remember. Yeah. I know you've seen him play. I think if we could draft him, sit him a year, will be available after hopefully the 3rd round, definitely the 2nd, but sit him for a year. Just a name to remember, Joe Milton, Tennessee.
Yeah, very productive guy. There are a lot of guys in this. Spencer Rattler's a guy that people bring up quite a bit. And those guys, if they are drafted, they won't get a chance here right off the bat. So that's something that you have to consider when you're trying to win now, and you still have an older team defensively that you want to try to win now. I don't know if that's the right way to go, but you know, it all starts, to me, this whole domino effect starts with what Mason Rudolph will do. He has the opportunity to be in the driver's seat. The Steelers will come to him with an offer. I know that will happen. Whatever that offer is, he'll say either yes or no, and he may want guarantees. But how do you get a guarantee that you're going to get a legitimate chance to start? You know, I don't know that you can get that. And maybe if that's what he wants, you got to survey all the rest of these NFL teams. Where is a better opportunity than here, actually, to have that opportunity to start? I don't know. You know, will the Raiders do it? The Raiders may want Justin Fields. You know why? Because Luke Getsy was there, wasn't he? He was their offensive coordinator, right? Am I thinking right? Of Chicago, and now he's the offensive coordinator with Antonio Pearson in Vegas. Maybe they're going to want him and maybe make a trade. But the point is Aiden O'Connor, if they don't, Aiden O'Connor, could Mason Rudolph go there and be a starter? Maybe. Larry in Apollo is next up right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Larry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bob?
I'm great. Thanks.
I'm calling about the offensive line. To me, it changed probably during the time that the other quarterback was in when we lost the three games in a row. Broderick Jones seemed to have taken over control of the offensive line right around the time Mason was coming in. The combination of him gelling, we've got a left guard, we definitely need a center. How many drives were ruined by a hike at the quarterback's ankles, even for Mason, even for Trubisky, okay? You can't do that. Third and two, third and three, you've had two first downs, and the quarterback gets the ball at his ankles, and he has to throw it away because it's a blitz, and you got to play to beat that blitz. You can't do it. The drive stalls. You know, the offensive coordinator's gone. You got to revamp the offensive line, and the one guy that called a little bit ago, we got our two quarterbacks as far as I'm concerned. They're good enough.
All right, well, we'll find out. I do think their offensive line now with Mason Coles out of there, they got to get a center, so they'll probably draft. I would not be surprised if the first two, you know, this is funny how this goes. People want skill positions. I get it. But if you're in a position where they're drafting, I don't know how many offensive skill positions you can get to immediately satisfy your needs. You're going to take an offensive tackle. They're going to take offensive linemen here early in this draft, and I believe often, because that's where it all starts. I think that's what they want to improve. Now, if they don't get a center, James Daniels can play there. He has. They have Herbig's brother, who I don't know what he can do at center, but they're gonna they got to draft a center at some point. And maybe you just take another tackle and you move Moore to guard and Daniels to center. I don't know what they do, but they're going to have to figure that out. 412-928-9370. We are due for a break. Want to thank our sponsors once again, beginning with number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Yes, number one Cochran Sports Showdown every Sunday night, 11:35 KDKA. Tune in for that, including tomorrow night. Also, PNC Bank. Make today the day and check out their virtual wallet. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensboro. You want a great place to go hang out on the weekends or weekdays? You can make it casual dining. You can make it, fine dining. They do both there. They have outdoor fire pits, great brunches, all sorts of monitors to watch games at Iron Rock Tap House. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call on KDK Plus and right here on The Fan on most nights, as well as Shendorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. We'll take a break. Brian in Pittsburgh, you'll be first up when I return right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the program, everyone. The Pirates will play their first Grapefruit League game today, and you'll hear it right here on The Fan beginning right after my program at 1 o'clock. Later today, we have Pitt and Virginia Tech, a must-win for the Panthers. That pregame begins at 5. Tip-off at 5:30 at the Peterson Event Center. As far as the Pirates, here's your lineup today, in case you were wondering. Jiwon Bae leading off playing second base. Will he be the second baseman every day, or will they go for a guy like Triolo, who will bat second today and play third base? Henry Davis bats third as catcher. You got Smith and Jigman right field batting cleanup. They just picked him back up off waivers from Seattle. Oliveras at left field batting fifth. Edward Oliveras was a free agent signing. Lamb at first base, Williams at shortstop, McKinney, another offseason acquisition, and Celestino, who I don't know, is your designated hitter. 412-928-9370, back to the lines. We begin with Brian in Pittsburgh. Hello, Brian. What's up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, man. I'm not sure where your take is and what your stance is on the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh, if they should stay with Kenny or go out and get somebody. I personally am leaning towards Justin Fields. At least he has shown, in my opinion, more than Kenny has. And, you know, when you hear Bradshaw making his comments and putting all this stuff around Kenny, I mean, I think the skill position group around Kenny, a lot of quarterbacks in this league would take and thrive with. And to me, unless somebody can teach him how to process faster and teach him some courage to stand in that pocket, I don't know if he's the long-term solution. I mean, I'm just interested in hearing your thoughts, Bob.
Thanks, Brian. I don't know that you can teach courage. You know, courage is courage. You either have it or you don't have it. If you're going to not stay in the pocket long enough, it leads to some problems. As far as, to me, I've seen things from Kenny Pickett that intrigue me. I haven't seen enough of them, but I've seen things. So I understand where they don't want to give up on him, but I wouldn't give him a free pass either. In other words, you're our starter no matter what. I wouldn't do that. Again, coming with courage is the ability to deal with adversity. You have to understand that that comes with it. There should be a healthy competition. They said that the last time. It really wasn't a healthy competition. I'd like to see one. And if Mason Rudolph can be assured that he would get one, then I would try to sign him back. And I still would have room for another free agent. But it wouldn't be anyone, you know, I understand Ryan Tannehill's name keeps coming up because of his attachment to Arthur Smith. But I'd look elsewhere. And there are a number of free agent people out there they can bring in just in case. But it would not be, okay, Kenny, you're our number one. I wouldn't do that. I would say, Kenny, you come in here. You're going to get every shot. So is Mason Rudolph. I would go in that direction. Now, as far as Fields is concerned, I said this earlier, you'd hate to be in a situation where you pass on something that normally is not available to you. Very seldom do you get a chance to acquire by trade a 24-year-old, keep in mind he's younger than Pickett, a 24-year-old who's already put up the kinds of numbers that he has. Last year he had back-to-back 4-touchdown games. He also makes a lot of turnovers. There's no question about that. That's a problem for him. He has to reduce that. But as far as intriguing talent, if you can bring an intriguing talent in here for a third-round pick, second-round pick even, I would do that. I would do that. Just because I see things in him that I really like. And in a system where you have a really good run game and a defense that could help, all these things, Chicago didn't have any of that. But again, if you do that, you're obligated, in at least in my way of thinking, of starting him. You know, and Kenny Pickett won't like that. They may not like that because you can't develop a guy sitting on a bench, as we found out with Mason Rudolph. So if that trade is made, it's to bring him in as the starter, and you'd have to do that because you have to pick up his option the next year. You wouldn't trade him with the thought of, I'm not going to bring him back next year. That would be wasteful. So that has to happen. And would I be disappointed with that? No. I want more competition at that position. I want more depth at that position. And I want more youth at that position. So he checks a lot of those boxes. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hey, Bob. Plenty of time to talk about football, but I have to say that last caller and what you just said about Pickett, I think the entire town's tiptoeing around the tulips when it comes to Pickett. I don't think in 45 years I've never seen a quarterback more scared in the pocket than Pickett. And nobody wants to say it, but that's the reality.
No, I think we've all said it. It's been a big problem with him, yeah, that he turns away from everything and then he loses sight of the field.
I think it's a business decision, to be honest. I think I said this to you about a year ago. I think every quarterback wants to make $250 to $500 million now, and the way to do that is to stay on the field so you don't stand in. And that's, and I think, and he's actually shot himself in the foot because of it. Because, you know, if you don't throw, if you're not throwing for 25, 28 touchdowns a year, you're not going to get signed. So I don't, at this point, I don't know what they're going to do. But I called about the Pens, of course, and I actually think Jake Gensel made his decision to get traded because from what, and this is just reading the tea leaves, when Letang and Malkin signed and they took a reduction in pay, Jake Gensel can't get 7 or 8 years at $10 or $11 million a year. I don't think that was ever on the table, and I think why they've acknowledged that Crosby has kind of tacitly approved Gensel being traded, because they're all on the same page when it comes to discounts or reduced salaries. And if Gensel, and I totally understand why, he's 30 years old, he's gotten banged up a ton. If he wants to make $85, $90 million on a contract, more power to him. But they definitely should trade him at that point because you can't do that. You can't give him that much money for that term where they're at as an organization.
No, so, especially if they're not going to trade anyone else of the elite players. What in the world are you doing then? You're going to be so stacked heavy with all these contracts, you can't do anything.
And I think Dubas, and he's a smart guy, and he tipped his hand. I think he acknowledged the other day in his press conference, his most valuable trade chip right now is Tristan Jarry. So he's had a goalie star of league. I don't want to trade Jarry because, honestly, the guy's putting up Vezina-class numbers. He really is. It's just this team can't score. I ranted about this a couple weeks ago. And I see Malkin has become the Twitter-hated person now. And all the ills are because Malkin stinks now. He's over the hill. Well, Malkin is one of the most key players in Penn's history. The second line is what made that team click. And he still sets up guys. He's got nobody to finish most of the time. Drew O'Connor had a nice goal that he didn't set up. But, I mean, this is just not – they need, you know, a second line. That's really what's missing. So Dubas can work the phones. If he can get a few hockey trades, if he can move, you know, a Raquel or a Riley Smith has to go. I mean, he's unhappy.
Yeah, but you'd be trading low with him. I don't know what you're going to get unless Vegas wants him back because they seem to like him out there.
But do you want him, I thought he was a free agent this year, a UFA, but he's not. He's under contract again for right. $5 million next year. You can't keep him. So
no, they have too many of those kinds of players. I think Raquel's been a disappointment and not worth the money. I think Brian Rust, I would have not signed him. I would have created money.
They love him.
I get it, but listen, to support your point here, Ryan, listen what they have now. If you look at what today's practice revealed, is that Emil Bengtsson is going to be on a third line, along with Phillips, two guys they've just picked up, basically.
I know.
Jansen Harkins, they have all these guys who they're just trying to plug spots because they're getting no production down below. But the problem is, if their power play was operating where you thought it might be,
I know.
It would take a lot of the pressure. This is just like the Steeler defense getting exposed because their offense can't score. Well, same thing holds true here. Their power play is killing the rest of the team because if you don't score on the power play, you're next to last in its production, then everybody else better pick up the slack, and they're not capable.
Well, Bob, you know, a power play has guys with certain functions, not stars. Everyone thinks like, you know, it's 1992 where the Pens had all stars on power play. Yeah, but Kevin Stevens is getting his butt kicked in front of the net. You know, they don't have the Kunitz. They don't have the Hornquist. They don't have anybody to get in the box. And every team knows it. That's why they're passing up top. We're going to give it to them.
Yep.
They don't get shot through. Why change your approach when you know if you give it to the Pens, they're going to, like, hamstring themselves?
Gotcha. Thanks,
That's
Ryan.
What they do.
I appreciate it. Always good to hear from you in New Jersey. Let's go to Pat in Seven Springs before we go to a commercial break. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk briefly about one thing. Pickett, do you think that the Steelers would have actually lost by as much as they did if he started against Buffalo? Because I don't.
Well, here's one of the intriguing things, Pat, about that game. And I thought the one and only opportunity Pickett got without Canada, he played his best game of his career. At least that's to me, it looked like his best game of his career from start to finish. And then he got injured again. And that's also a problem.
But I just have to think he'd been licking his lips on the sideline because even before half, I was thinking, oh, wow, maybe they should put in Pickett just for a little bit of a spark. I don't know what you think about that. Anyway, I wanted to hit real quick on Ken Pom. Why is he holding Pitt hostage? Why is Joe Lenardi holding the ACC hostage? What is going on? We were told last year the Big 12 is so much better, and then Pitt goes and beats Iowa State in the tournament, and then they, you know what I mean? Like, what is going on there?
I don't think the ACC has as much juice as some of these other conferences.
But don't they have two teams in the top 10?
Yeah, it's the normal suspects, yes. But I mean, if and I'm not going to base everything on Pitt beating Iowa State last year. It was a nice win for everything. I do agree they should be in a better position than they are based on what they've done. When you get road wins the way they've gotten them this year and some of the games they've played, which I think are impressive, especially on the road, they should be in a better spot. But, you know.
But all I hear is Mountain West. Mountain West? What have they done in the tournament? I've never seen it. When's the last time a Mountain West team even made the finals?
I don't know. I'd have to see.
It's just
you know what I'm hoping for, Pat? This is what I'm hoping for. The Duquesne, once again, will host the NCAA tournament here at first two rounds in Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
I want to see Pitt get in this field and somehow, because they like to keep things geographical friendly for people to travel, whatever, have Pitt play here.
Do you think they can make a run, Bob? Do you think they can make a Sweet 16 run?
I don't know. I don't know that far. I'm just talking about making the tournament. And not having to go through Dayton in a play-in possibility. I'm talking about being somewhere in there where they can actually have a chance to play here. And I don't care that it's in Pittsburgh, but it's at a place they don't play, which is PPG Paints Arena. You try to increase crowd, opportunities with local people so they don't have to travel all over the country to follow their teams. That would make sense to me. But for that to happen, Pitt has got to beat Clemson next Tuesday, and they can't lose more than one game the rest of the way. If they go into the ACC tournament that way, they'll get a double bye. They'll be able to, who knows where that can take them. But,
One more quick thing, Bob. When do you think Skeens is going to come up?
2025? I don't know. They seem not to be willing to just, I don't know. It all depends on what he does in AAA, and their hesitancy to bring people up quickly makes me think that they won't even do it this year. I'm hope that's
Bob,
wrong.
A decent starting rotation this year, they'd be fighting for a wild card spot.
But he also pitched last year in double. Say what you want, double A, triple A is far better than anything he saw in college, and so you have to learn some things. I get all that.
Okay, but you know the minor leagues, they've been struggling a little bit since COVID. I mean, You don't know the talent that's okay, so when, down there.
I mean, I would like to see him to start the season. If you're asking me, I would like to see that. If he shows me anything in his training camp, I would. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that for long-term control issues, all of that. I get it. So when do you think he'll be up? Let's say they get off to a good start and these two guys they brought in are doing well and they add, Brubaker to the – they won't find the need, you know what I'm saying, unless he's lights out.
I think the starting rotation is so sketchy that he might get a chance in the first 3 months. And look at the NL Central. Isn't this the weakest it's ever been?
Yes, that's why I think they should go out and trade or sign some of these free agents. Everybody thinks I'm crazy when I say Blake Snell. Go out and sign Blake Snell. They have the money to do that. Why wouldn't you do that? Give a little shock treatment to the fan base here.
Yeah, but you think Nutting has the money to sign Blake Snell
yes.
to a mega deal?
Yes. Okay. If he wants to, sure he can. Even if you give him $30 million a year, what does that take this roster payroll to? Just barely over $100
million. For the Pirates, $30 million a year is...
Well, you're conditioned to think that, Pat. Everyone is because they never do it. And they tell you that they can't. Well, they can. It's a choice.
I realize he's got money, but he's not George Steinbrenner.
But he's a billionaire who can make these choices if he wants to. There's no limitation on what you should or could do. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you can. You can.
And just to your point is this division looks to me weak. If it's weak and you can make a play or two to put yourself, why wouldn't you do that?
Right. No. Yeah, I agree with you.
The valuation of the franchise will make it so easy. All these guys, they buy at a low price. You can sell at a big price if you want to. There's no reason. I'm sorry, Pat. I didn't mean to get off on this tangent. I'm hoping Skeens is up. To answer your original question, I hope Skeens is up by June. I would start Skeens up here sooner if he shows me anything by June. That's what I would think, but... Would you be surprised?
101 miles per hour. Who else is throwing that on?
Yeah,
the
but you also have to put it. You also have to put it over the plate, and you can't be wild with it. We'll see.
Right.
I'm going to see what he does early on. We'll go from there.
Well, Bob,
thanks, Pat.
I got to go to a break. Two with the bat. He's got a bat too.
Yeah, he does.
I saw a couple college highlights. He's in college. He was launching some balls out of the park.
Well, he's got to make sure that he keeps the ball in the park and does what he has to do. Thanks, Pat, for the call. I'm up against it. I went way over. Sorry about that, Joel. I went through your stop sign, just like a Pirate base runner going through a stop sign at third base. Brennan and Cranberry, hang on. We'll get to you when we come back right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. All right, we're back. Rounding third, heading home. I went through one red light. I won't do it again, but Brennan and Cranberry joins us right now. Brennan, what's up?
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good. What's on today?
Hey, I just wanted to respond to a previous caller about Pitt and the bubble and all that. First of all, one of his questions was, when was the last time a Mountain West team made the finals? Literally last year, San Diego State lost to UConn.
That's right. Thank you for refreshing my memory. I forgot about that.
Yep. I'm a Pitt fan. I love Pitt. I want them to make it. I think they should be in a better position than they are, but it's all about the non-conference schedule. I mean, the committee has to look at the wide variety of the schedule from season start to season end, and you know, obviously, Pitt's had some good wins recently, but their non-conference was so bad. I mean, they lost to a bad Missouri team who's close to last in the SEC. They didn't beat anyone. I mean, we thought West Virginia would be a decent win, and they're terrible, too. We beat a bunch of, you know, no-name teams. I think that's just where they're at this point. And then, thirdly speaking, I'd love to see Pitt play in Pittsburgh, but I don't think that's going to happen. They give the region favorability to the higher-ranked teams, so that would almost be a pipe dream, I think, but... Anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think they're going to do the rest of the way then, Brennan? Do you think they have a chance if they beat Clemson and lose only one of their final five?
Oh, I think they definitely have a chance, but I think they need to make some noise in the ACC tournament. I think the problem with them is they have a lot of teams to climb over at this point, not necessarily what they do or they won't do, but there's just a lot of teams in front of them.
Yeah, no question about that. But it starts today, one game at a time. They got to get back on the winning track. And the one thing that concerns me about them is the lack of an inside game when needed. You know, Federico will give you some rebounds or whatever, and he's good at that. But when they need scoring from the inside, when their outside gets cold like it did the other night, then you got some issues.
Yep.
All right, Matt.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. So. Bottom line is, Penguins Flyers tomorrow, big game. They got to win the game. Flyers are playing well. You know, this is supposed to be a rebuild for them, and John Tortorella has made them realize that they still can compete. And we'll see what the Penguins do in that. They really have a predicament here. They have basically 2 weeks to try to figure out what they're going to do before the trade deadline, the Penguins and Kyle Dubas. Will he be able to make a move for Gensel? If not, can he sign him? If he doesn't do that, then what? You go with an unknown situation, knowing that he's at the end of a contract. Again, I believe there will be some sort of little bit of a bidding situation going on for Gensel, even if the team that acquires him isn't looking to sign him long term. He can make a difference right now for a team. Everyone wants to win. It's tough to win. There are no elite teams in the NHL, in my view. There are some better ones than others, but nobody can be assured of winning a single round. Eight seeds often beat one seeds. I can see that happening all the way through this kind of thing. So it's tough. If you believe that he's the kind of guy who can put you over the hump, score big goals at big times, and he's proven to do that, I think the Penguins could get something for him. We'll see how it goes. But they can help themselves by just keep winning, and they have some games in hand. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. I want to tell you about Fan Weather, because it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado 1500 trucks. Today it's going to get better. Sunny, 36 for the high. Tonight, low of 18. Cold tomorrow, becoming cloudy, high of 46, and temperatures rise throughout the week. Thank you to PNC Bank. Thank you to Number One Cochrane. Thank you to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Thank you to Ireland Contracting. And thank you to Shendorovich, and Fishman. But most of all, thanks for you. I appreciate your calls. Always love talking sports with you on Saturday from 11 to 1. Joel Nelson always riding the hot seat here. Thank you for your help and expertise. And coming up, it's Pirate Baseball. Hank Davis batting third and catching. And then later today, Pitt and Virginia Tech right here on your home for Panthers and Pirates. It's 93.7 The Fan.